Blog Talk Radio.
And welcome to Circle Sanctuary Network Podcasts, brought to you by Circle Sanctuary, one of the oldest nature spirituality churches in the United States, connecting people of nature center paths around the world. Join us through the week for a variety of shows discussing various topics, celebrating the divine in all of its forms through nature worship, rituals, education, and building bridges of community.
Welcome to Nature Spirituality with Selena Fox. This is your host, Selena Fox, and tonight we explore being at the crossroads. The crossroads is a term that's used for places external and internal. Crossroads are places that go between realms and worlds. Crossroads are metaphors for transitions in personal life, in community life, planetary life, and beyond. Tonight we'll take a look at crossroads rituals and meditations. I invite you, as we begin our exploration of being at the crossroads, to call to mind what you have associated with that term, crossroads. Crossroads literally means roads converging and crossing. And that term applies to when there are two or more roads that converge and cross over. Sometimes that takes the form of one road being crossed perpendicularly so that at the center point, the intersection of the two roads, it's like the center of an equal arm cross. But crossroads can involve more than two roads crossing. Indeed, in my travels around the United States and other parts of the world, I've had occasion to experience crossroads with many roads converging, not only on one plane, but in some large metropolitan areas where there are overpasses and underpasses and roundabouts and access roads. There can be a variety of roads that are crossing each other with different elevations. Crossroads not only apply to actual paved road surfaces, but crossroads can be extended to paths, footpaths, deer trails in the woods, on the sand, on the shore, by some body of water. You can experience tracks and paths that have converged, that have crossed. Some people also extend crossroads for other types of pathways, bicycle paths, footpaths that are established in parks and private places, and crossroads can also be seen within the foot traffic within indoor spaces. Large convention centers, a vending area where there are multiple booths, places where the walkways that link the different places in a vending area together have their own type of crossroads. And in some large convention centers and auditoriums, the paths may not only have foot traffic on it, but there may be people in motorized vehicles, other types of transport systems that all use the roadways, the pathways within interior spaces. Another example of an interior place where there are crossroads would be an airport terminal and some other type of public transition and transit places. So there's many different types of crossroads. What they tend to have in common is travel by humans, although there can be crossroads for creatures, and that these pathways have more than one person transporting themselves along the roadway. It often is an established pathway or roadway that's used over time by multiple beings. So we have actual physical crossroads that are the convergence and the crossing over of traffic pathways. We also have crossroads that have become a metaphor for transitions. Transitions in one's personal life, in one's family life, household life, neighborhood, community, municipality, country, planet, solar system, cosmos. So metaphorically, crossroads can represent a point in which there's choice and transition happening. Tonight, I'm going to share with you some ways to work with crossroads, both external, outdoors, indoors, as well as internal. With life passage rites, sometimes a crossroad can be worked with both in the mundane realm of actually physically going to an actual crossroads, and then to transform that more secular place into a place for spiritual work. Crossroads also can be envisioned, especially when it comes to choice making. I have a meditation that I call Crossroads of Life that I developed not only for my own personal work, but in my work with consultation clients over the years. And I have also guided this in small and large group settings when I've been out on speaking travels and also at our center, Circle Sanctuary. Some traditions of spirituality have crossroads as a vortex, as a portal, as a special place. Indeed, in some Afro-Caribbean traditions, crossroads may be connected with a sacred form, Legba, in some Budan traditions, and within contemporary paganism, Hecate, the goddess of the crossroads, may be invoked as a kind of guardian of crossroads spaces. Some people will carry an offering to an actual crossroads place and will leave it at the crossroads as a way of honoring the deity or the guardian of the crossroads, if one's from that particular type of tradition. Sometimes leaving something at a crossroads is a way of letting go of something and approaching that crossroads one way and then departing another way, and that the crossroads offering, ideally biodegradable, something that is poured into the crossroads area or some kind of food substance that will eventually return to the earth, by leaving that offering, then walking ahead on the path, that it's a way of letting go of some facet in life, of literally moving on by doing this crossroads work. When I do weddings, sometimes they take the form of hand fastings, a name that many pagan wedding ceremonies have. There's not only the joining of the hands of the couple, but there's also a jumping of the broom and some other old traditions. Typically, when I do a pagan wedding or hand fasting, it takes place in a sacred circle. And as the ritual unfolds, there is an honoring of the sacred directions, which typically are compass points across many traditions. As one goes to the four compass points around the perimeter of a sacred circle, one is fixing that point in time and space in the rite. And in essence, by activating the north, the east, the south, the west, one is not only going around the circumference of the circle, but by having those fixed points around the activities that take place in the center of the circle, one can see that at the very heart of that circle is a crossroads of north to south, of east to west. And for people that work not only with a sacred circle with the four compass points, but also work with the directions of that which is below within the earth and that which is above the heavens, the cosmos, that is another kind of pathway that converges at the center. In some wedding ceremonies, we have each person in the couple, and I've done both heterosexual weddings as well as LGBTQ weddings, and for the sake of simplicity, I will say bride and groom, but there might be two brides or two grooms or people that prefer to not use gendered nomenclature for themselves. So the bride will come from one direction and the groom from another direction, and they converge in the center. This is a use of the crossroads of a sacred circle as a metaphor of two lives joining to one. And then at the end of the ceremony, the couple goes out another direction together. That can be a really powerful use of the crossroads metaphor. Two lives converging, becoming one, and then going out of the circle into their new handfasted and married life together. As part of that exit of the circle, often they want a broom jump, and we have those who have gathered for the ceremony form a line on either side of the pathway out of the circle as a symbol of that path into their new life. And I will go down that path first with the broom and be at the end, and then have the broom close to the ground as the couple then makes their way down through this pathway into their new life, and they jump the broom, and the ceremony is complete. Another life passage ceremony involving crossroads is that of hand parting or divorce. I've done a lot more hand fastings and marriages than I've done divorce ceremonies. But one of the powerful things about working with the crossroads motif for a hand parting is it is the reverse of a hand fasting. In this case, the couple begins this ceremony in the center of the circle, or they come into the circle together from a particular direction. They walk around the circle, then are at the center. They have with them the hand fasting cord and any other objects connected with their marriage rite. Typically, we cut the hand fasting cord and either cast it into a fire or give each part of the couple a part of the hand fasting cord. If they've exchanged rings, they give the rings back to each other that they exchanged. If they've exchanged other objects, they do that. Ideally, in a hand parting, there is an expression of appreciation for what was positive with the relationship and some way of saying farewell, of ending that relationship. Then what typically happens is that the couple then in the center of the circle, after this has all been done and they're preparing for the final part of the ceremony, they are back to back and they walk out of the circle in opposite directions as a way of concluding their married life together, having it end. So that's another example of the ritual use of a crossroads. It can be adapted for other life passages as well. And for a funeral, one has different pathways coming to where the funeral is being held, and that can be acknowledged that we are at the crossroads between this world and the spirit world, and that we acknowledge people who have come from different places and actually talk about the crossroads metaphor of converging here in this incarnation to pay respects for one who has gone on. In this case, the crossroads is that of the pathways here on the earth plane, but also includes a path that goes into the other world in which we express our well wishes, our remembrances for the beloved dead one whose funeral it is. Another life passage is that of a birth, a child blessing. And here it may take the form of, for a child blessing, having people from the family's life, and the mother and the father and other loved ones, significant others, are all gathered in a circle, and the young one may be a very tiny infant, may be a toddler, may be a young child, is in the center of the circle, and there are blessings that come from different directions as people are around the circle, and they may step into the circle, express their well wishes for the young one, and then step back. And here, the pathway not only has that physical place where you have people from different places that are all encircling the family and their newborn, but they also are recognizing we are at a convergence of time, that this is the start of a life, and not only is there a crossroads motif as people step forward from different parts of the circle and having those pathways into the center of the circle being a kind of crossroads, but we have the crossroads through time where there is a blessing done and the crossroad that goes from the physical into the future is honored in that ceremony. Healing can have a crossroads component. One can physically go to a place that is a crossroads and have some symbol of the illness that one seeks to dispel. Some people will use some kind of cleansing incense as they stand at the crossroads, and they will cleanse themselves, or someone else will be present who will do that type of cleansing or smudging with incense. And the idea is at that crossroads time and place that what is unneeded energetically, psychologically, spiritually, emotionally, physically, mentally, socially, is cleansed away. And after having that transformative experience in the center of the crossroads, one moves in a new direction for a time to represent leaving the disease, the dysfunction, the problems behind, and moving to the future. Crossroads can be internalized and visualized as a way of making change and receiving guidance. When one is experiencing some life transition, such as graduating from school, a crossroads meditation can be a helpful way of preparing oneself for changing identity from student to graduate. One can imagine oneself at a crossroads, having journeyed there and experiencing that journey to the crossroads is calling to mind experiences and learnings one has had along the way. And then as one is at that crossroads, if there is an already known future direction, one can see oneself taking a step along the pathway to that future direction. And that might take the form, if one's graduating from high school, going into some type of college, community college or university, trade school. If one's been in college and is contemplating going into graduate school, one would experience oneself on the pathway of what's been, the institution that one has been before, being at the crossroads, reflecting on accomplishments, and then looking ahead to the road going to the next institution. This not only works as an internal meditation for changes within one's education journey, but it can be an image that one can work with a job change, for example, for a location change, for a relationship change. One of the powers of the crossroad is that you have come to be at a place, you have journeyed there, and you have the journey ahead. And it is a place between those worlds, a place for reflection, for learning, for insights, for healing, for creative awakening, for emerging assertiveness and courage, and it can be a really powerful type of meditation to do as part of life changes. Another type of crossroads, a metaphorical one, is what I call the crossroads of the seasons. As one moves from spring to summer, from summer to autumn, from autumn to winter, from winter to spring, that process of transition between the four seasons is a kind of crossroads. And as one makes that transition, one will notice that it rarely takes the form of, for example, winter changing to spring. All right, snow, we're all done with the snow, and now the springtime is here. There is a transition period where the weather becomes more changeable. And the same kind of metaphor can work for other environments that don't have four seasons, that might have a different seasonal configuration, a dry season and a rainy season, for example. As one is considering the crossroads of the season, part of that change can be celebrated and attuned to through seasonal rituals. Many people who are involved in contemporary nature spirituality and contemporary paganism will not only celebrate the four seasons with the solstices and the equinoxes that mark those starts of the season, but also will be marking the midpoints of the season, the height of the season, which many know as the Celtic cross quarter days or fire festivals. So crossroads can be a crossroads in time and in process. Crossroads also can really reflect on psychological processes within ourselves, especially when one is going through an identity change or going through some rough spot or some wonderful spot in life. Being able to be comfortable at a place that is between, at the crossroads, and to draw guidance from inner wisdom, from crossroads deities or guardians, from the divine as one is aligned with. This can be really helpful as one does problem solving. So crossroads are not just places, internal and external, that you pass through, but crossroads also have the power of being a place for reflection and wisdom, for healing and transformation. When we do ancestor work, crossroads can take the form of a portal on a created shrine or altar to the ancestors. There are different approaches to working with an ancestor shrine or altar. Certainly some people will have a particular shrine that is for their ancestors of family or ancestors of blood, people that are genetically connected or connected by adoption or affiliation. There are some people who will do an ancestor altar that is to a particular ancestor, or some have an ancestor's altar that not only is a place to acknowledge those related by family, but those related by spiritual tradition and by geographical area or culture. At an ancestor's altar, when you create a portal, you may use some type of scrying device, a mirror, a crystal, some focal point for the altar. One is setting up a crossroads between the here and now and the ancestor realm, opening up a connection, a pathway for communion, for attunement, for honoring, for thanksgiving, for guidance. And in working with crossroads in this way, crossroads that are portals, it is important to have a clear space, purified or consecrated space, as one does this work, and to have some means of concluding the work and being able to learn and reflect from the connection, to activate and to deactivate the shrine when it is in use. There are different approaches and philosophies regarding this, but I do think, as with any other sacred space, it's important to recognize that it not only is a physical reality, but it has a spiritual reality, and it's important to have good grounding and centering and protection as you do this kind of crossroads work. Some people like to take a picture of a crossroads and to use that as a way to meditate and to summon up images and imagery having to do with a crossroads, to actually have some physical crossroads that one has viewed and has photographed. Some like to create a mandala, typically takes the form of a large circular space, often having the four directions, compass points, at each of the points on the circle, although mandalas can take a variety of different forms. Some people have them as sacred circle art or as a shield that they work with, and will actually create an image of a crossroads. Some people will use a particular pattern and have different pathways converge in the center. It might be three different roads crossing, which would form a six-pointed star or six radiating pathways around the center, or it might be eight, or it may be an odd number, such as a triskel of three, one going in each of three directions. So one can depict crossroads, and one can artistically create crossroads for use in ritual work. That can be very helpful when one feels that one's about ready to make a big change in life and to actually have a particular icon or image that one can reflect on and to do peaceful meditations with that. The Crossroads of Life meditation I developed many years ago, and I invite those of you who wish to do so and that are in a safe place to do so to join with me as I guide this meditation. If there is something happening in your own life that you have some choice making to do, then you may want to listen to this to get the basic idea of how Crossroads of Life works, and then do this meditation guided by yourself and to adapt it according to the life choices that you are considering. And for those of you who don't have a particular path that you are wondering about, you might find it helpful to be able to experience this so that when such a time comes, that you have this tool that you could use. This meditative journey can be used to aid life planning and decision making when contemplating two or more choices. Use it to help better identify and consider your concerns, as well as hopes about possible courses of action. Use this meditative journey to connect with wisdom and guidance from the divine within, according to your own path, tradition, worldview, philosophy. Set aside some time for this multi-part meditation. And doing this on your own, you probably want to allow at least a half hour or so for you to be able to fully experience this for choice making. Here I'm going to do a shorter version of it for teaching purposes. Do your journey in a quiet, solitary place free of distractions. Sit comfortably with a pen and your journal nearby. And while one could certainly use an app on a mobile device to record, or one may want to do some texting to oneself or use some kind of cyber tool, my experience has been actually having paper and pen allows things to be more immediate. Yes, it's a bit old school, but it helps you remember it when you set it down in your own hand. And often the act of writing in a journal, or if you don't have a journal, some paper or a spiral notebook, it is a process that can stimulate additional insights and understanding. Create sacred space, such as by blessing the area with burning incense, casting a circle of radiant light around you. Call upon the divine according to your own spiritual path, philosophy. Ask for inner guidance and support. Now bring to mind the choices before you. Give each of the choices a name. List these choices in your journal. Select two or three choices to work with in this journey. Plus, this is very important, include an option that is not yet known, which you might call the mystery option. Have your journal and pen within easy reach so that you can note experiences as you do each part of this journey. If you have many choices, consider doing this meditation on several occasions, exploring different sets of choices in each. Now, after making your selections, then close your eyes, take several deep, long, slow breaths to center yourself. Then imagine yourself standing at a crossroads. Behind you is the path that you took to this crossroad. This is your life's path up to this point in your life journey. As you look before you at the crossroads, you see a gateway with the name of each choice you have selected, as well as one for the not yet known. These gateways before you each are a gateway into a path that you can travel from this center of the crossroads. So as you are at the crossroads, at the center, and you see the gateways before you, you put forth the request that the pathway you are to explore first will glow brighter to signal you as to the one to travel down first. Then imagine that gateway opening and yourself going down that path to explore it as a possible route for you. I find it helpful as the gateway opens to see a kind of mist and then to start walking through the mist and then to have the mist start clearing as you envision yourself going down the path. Pay attention to what you notice and experience as you travel down this first path. Note any physical sensations, feelings, thoughts, and any symbols that come to you as you make this journey. After you have journeyed on this path for a time, and this might be for just a few minutes, or it can be longer if that is what you sense you need. After you've gotten a sense for the path and you've been there for a time, and gotten a good sense of it, pause. Then let a word or a phrase emerge in your consciousness that's connected to the essence of this pathway that you have traveled as a possible life direction. Now, with this message in mind, as well as your other impressions and experiences, turn around and return to the crossroads. Go through that gateway and be at the very center of the crossroads. Take some time to reflect on what you experienced, and ideally, you will be able to record your experiences and impressions in your journal. After you have finished writing about the first path you have explored, take some deep, slow breaths to center yourself again and prepare you for additional exploration. Experiencing yourself again at the crossroads with the gateways before you, scan the other gateway choices until one of those gateways glows bright to signal you to try it next. Repeat the pathway exploration process, noting thoughts, feelings, physical sensations, symbols, what you experience as you journey down this pathway. And as before, after you've journeyed on this path for a time and gotten a sense of it, pause. Receive a message. And then, with this message in mind, as well as your other impressions, turn around and return to the crossroads. Reflect. And then record your experiences in your journal. After you've returned to the crossroads again and have made your notes, then it is time to continue your process. If you have one other gateway to explore, then you would go to that. If you have several, then you would see which one signals you next. And in like fashion, you will have that gateway open, move through a mist, go down and explore this possible life direction. Get to a point where you have a sense of it, you pause, you receive a word, a phrase, some message, you turn around, carrying with you that memory of that message and your experiences, coming back to the crossroads again, reflecting, and then setting down in writing. And you would continue this until each of the gateways and pathways have been explored, including the one that is not yet known. After you conclude this crossroads of life meditation, then it's a really good idea to just sit quietly for a few moments. Just be. Taking deep, slow breaths to center yourself, to begin the process of integration of the different things that you've experienced and written about and reflected on. And then it's a very good idea in this concluding process to write down any additional thoughts and intuitions that come to you. What was it like as a whole doing this crossroads journey? What has it been like being at the crossroads rather than in motion? Then take a look at all that you have put in your journal. You might do it in depth if you're up for it, or you may want to just glance through it as a way of honoring your process. And then put your journal away, give thanks to the divine, uncast your circle or sacred space, bring closure to this crossroads of life journey and your reflection process on it. Use this meditation in combination with your intellectual and your intuitive approaches, such as a rational analysis of choices, dream work, counseling, consultations, life coaching interface, divination, journaling, and other ways of doing process. And then make your decision. And recognize that you not only are working with your intellect, but from the deeper place where wisdom comes. The crossroads of life meditation can help clarify choices. It can be done in connection with dream work and other type of meditative work and ritual work. And one of the reasons for having the path that is not yet known is to train yourself and create an opening for other possibilities to emerge. At times when we're at a crossroads of life, where we need to make a decision, we may get fixated on either or thinking. It's either I do this or I do this. And by doing this type of work and including the path not yet known, that can bring a kind of freedom as well as be a form of creative awakening to allow yourself to consider other possibilities that you haven't thought about for a time. Crossroads are not to be feared. Crossroads are powerful, they're transformative, and whether you work with them in an actual physical place, work with them in an imaginatory place, or a combination, crossroads bring a special kind of magic, can enhance one's life journey, can aid us in approaching life choice making holistically. Crossroads connect us with possibilities and experiences. Crossroads can aid us in understanding time, space, connections. Crossroads can help us deepen our understanding of mystery, of convergence, of collaboration, of possibility. Crossroads can be a guide for ourselves as we navigate life's adventures, challenges, possibilities. In conclusion, I'd invite all who listen to also work with crossroads beyond the personal, to recognize that planet Earth, our home, is at a kind of crossroads. indeed scientists that had been tracking CO2 emissions since the 1950s are recognizing there are changes happening within our planet, within the biosphere. The planet is at a crossroads. Will humankind find ways of acknowledging that, understanding that, and even more importantly, taking action to change the problematic actions of human life on planet Earth, transform that into having humankind live not only in greater harmony with each other, but in sustainable ways with the entire web of life here on planet Earth. So as we find ourselves in the world, let us not only work with crossroads magic for ourselves, but let us recognize that we are at a crossroads where we can make a difference for the larger web of life of which we are a part here on planet Earth. Thank you all for joining me for At the Crossroads. This is the Nature Spirituality Podcast with your host, Selena Fox. I invite you to learn about the many podcasts that we have on Circle Sanctuary's Internet Radio, CSNP, Circle Sanctuary Network Podcast. You can find us on Facebook at CSN Podcast. You can find us on the web, CircleSanctuary.org, and then access the CSNP page. You will also get updates about the podcasts that I'm doing, Nature Spirituality, which is on Wednesday nights. Most of those are new podcasts. And then my Encore podcast show, which has some podcasts from over the years, from Circle Craft Study and Nature Magic and Nature Folk. That's on Sunday afternoons. You can find out more about my particular episodes upcoming on social media, Selena Fox on Instagram, Selena_Fox on Twitter, Selena Fox Updates on Facebook. Thank you all for listening. Thanks to our CSNP team for their work, not only with this podcast, but with all the podcasts on our network. For more information about Circle Sanctuary and its many services, you can visit us on the web, circlesanctuary.org, on Facebook, Circle Sanctuary Community. We're also on Twitter and on Instagram. And I invite you to join us for upcoming events in cyberspace as well as face-to-face at our nature preserve located near rural Barneveld, Wisconsin, USA. Many blessings, and may your journeys to crossroads be full of wisdom and well-being, transforming and growing in good ways. So mote it be. Good night.
Bless your blue green ocean, bless your red blue sky, your streams and your valleys, your mountains so high. Bless your gods and goddesses, Buddha, Sikh, and Jay. Jesus, Allah, Yahweh, we praise your many names. We speak a thousand languages, we speak with the same tongue. Bless our planet, a new one sky, all the people on it. We all laugh and we all cry. Oh, bless our planet, place of our birth. We are all one family, we are children of the earth. Bless your vibrant cities, bless your sacred ground, your hillsides and your forests, and bless your tiny town. Bless the winged ones that fly, bless the horse and bear, elephants, the dolphin, the cricket, and the hare. We speak a thousand languages, we speak with the same tongue. Bless our planet, a new one sky, all the people on it. We all laugh and we all cry. Oh, bless our planet, place of our birth. We are all one family, we are children of the earth. Bless our planet, a new one sky, all the people on it. We all laugh and we all cry. Oh, bless our planet, place of our birth. We are all one family, we are children of the earth. We are all one family, we are children of the earth.
Thank you for joining us on the Circle Sanctuary Network podcasts, presented by Circle Sanctuary and produced for all who follow the Nature Center paths. Join us here throughout the week for various programming connecting the community around the world. And please don't forget to watch for updates on the Circle Sanctuary website at www.circlesanctuary.org. And follow us on Facebook at facebook.com/CSNpodcasts. We can also be found on your favorite podcast hosting sites, such as iTunes, Stitcher, Spotify, and others. And until next time, many blessings.